Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to the Morning Mulligan Podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Hello, everybody. We're coming off the U.S. Open week. It was amazing U.S. Open. It was very fun. Very fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Let's talk about that before we jump into the Travelers. Start us off. Where do you want to start?
Well, obviously, the elephant in the room, Jon Rahm.
The man.
Wins by one shot over Louis Oosthuizen. Man, that was... I know it wasn't 2008. Tigers win there, but I was honestly, I started watching, I think, when Louie and them were on, like, hole three, I want to say, three or four. And I was literally on the edge of my seat from the time I turned the TV on till Rahm made that last birdie at 18.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that, there are so many, like, different ways that this tournament could have went.
How can you not love Jon Rahm, too? He shows all of his emotion, everything. He's such a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he cries about some things, too. But, I mean, he's got some funny things. Like, there's times of him screaming that he made a putt. There's times of him flipping off the hole. I mean, he's one of us.
He became my favorite new golfer.
Wow. That says a lot.
Like, even though he's not American, I just – when I think about Rahm, it, like – I don't know. I just draw a lot of similarities between me and him because whenever I was, like, playing a lot of competitive golf, I was somebody that my emotions were on my sleeve 24/7.
Right.
And it kind of, you know, it hindered me some. It hurt me some. It helped me some. I mean, it's just handling your emotions when you're that good of a player is something that you just have to learn how to do. And for some reason, since getting married and having this child, Rahm is just like – flip the switch.
He's been on it. Well, he's, it's not like the switch is ever off either, but now he's really taking it home now.
Yeah, but I mean, the way he carries himself, you know, yeah. In the press conference, he was talking about how, you know, now he's such a role model for his son. Yeah. And, you know, even his son isn't old enough to really remember any of these memories or anything like that once he grows up. But like he said, he is setting the example and should Kepa follow in his dad's footsteps. I mean, it's always good to have that role model to look at how to act on the golf course.
I think Rahm's got a chance to win the Open in a few weeks as well.
This honestly could just explode his career. I mean, obviously winning your first major is going to help you no matter what, but somebody like him, I could just see this carrying on for a while.
If I mean, it's pretty premature to say, but I'm going to say it. If Rahm wins the Open, I'm calling for the Tiger Slam. I'm calling for the Masters, then the PGA.
That'd be massive.
That would be awesome. I could see Rahm's going to be a Hall of Fame player. This is just the first step of what we're going
to
see.
Yeah. I mean, if his mindset continues to carry on, I mean, just with all the things he had to swallow.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago, you know, even coming down the Sunday, you know, I seen Rory in his post-round interview was like, I don't care what anybody says. He won his last two events.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that had Rahm gotten to play at Memorial the final round, it would have took something catastrophic for him to lose.
Yeah.
And to not get to, you know, do anything for like 10 straight days leading up to a major that you were a heavy favorite at, on top of, you know, he had to miss his parents meeting his son for the first time because he was stuck in Ohio.
Yep.
And to be able to just clear all of that and – you know, like he said, he believes in karma, and it definitely showed. I mean,
oh yeah, oh yeah. No, I love Rahm. Big fan of Rahm. What else you got for us last week?
I was just wanting to talk about how, you know, what different directions this could have went. You know, Bryson had the lead making the turn.
Terrible back nine.
Absolutely imploded.
Oh yeah.
He was already kind of starting to lose it until his foot slipped on 13.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was over.
It was horrible. And that leading into this week, nice. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Louis, another guy.
Classic Louis.
Had a two-shot lead at one point, and this has kind of become his mark on tour. His driver, dude, it just kills him. It's the second tournament, at least this year, that it's cost him a win.
This is his routine. Yeah, I mean, he's an Open champion. Maybe he'll do something during the Open. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Go ahead and bet Louis top five or top ten during the Open. I mean,
he's like the new age Phil Mick.
Yeah.
I mean, he just can't. He gets there so many times, but it's just, I don't know, this major thing is just eluding him really bad.
Yeah, gets really in his head. It really gets in his head for any tournament he's that close in. He just can't finish it.
Russell Henley, he just never really had it going at all.
They kind of expected me to do that. My dad said the thing where, with Louis making that putt on the last day on Saturday, it really messed with all the pairings, because that means Mackenzie Hughes had to play with a higher name player. Russell Henley had to play with a higher name player. I think the U.S. Open could have been a lot different if Mackenzie and Henley were paired together at the last day.
Kind of just both guys figuring it out versus having to play with somebody that's
an all-star
in go mode.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely messed around with it a lot, but that's what was meant to happen. So.
Yeah, it just really wasn't meant to be. Kind of same things for Brooks. He really just couldn't get out of his own way.
No.
I mean,
I bet he's happy he beat Bryson, though.
Yeah. But he just – I don't know. He played certain holes exactly how you're supposed to play them coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he did that, he turned around the next time and, you know, the very next hole, it seemed like, and just gave it right back. Or, I don't know, he just couldn't keep the momentum going long enough to win a U.S. Open.
Oh, I agree. What else you got?
Mackenzie Hughes. He never really looked comfortable. He got really – I haven't seen a ball ever get stuck in a tree.
I think that, you have.
Other than Rory's at
Sergio Kilo. As well. Was it
– Was that a U.S. Open, too, where he had to climb up and knock it out of the tree?
No, I don't think that was U.S. Open, though. Oh, I'm going to get a call from Dad about that one. No, I don't think it was U.S. Open. But anyway, yeah, the ball was straight up stuck in a tree. It one-hopped into the tree.
Yeah.
Because it hit the cart path and went up. I not one part of me at any point thought Mackenzie Hughes was going to win.
No, but he was honestly surprising me. He garnered a little bit of respect, I think, because he tried to battle. I think he was three over through six holes, and then he made a birdie right before he made the turn, and then was trying his best to hang on until that ball went in the tree, and then it was pretty
tried.
Much.
I mean, but again, Rom was meant to win that U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And I called that. I called it.
Yeah.
Every other bet I made, I hope you didn't place it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I called
this was
it.
A not who to play this week for us.
Yeah.
My guy Rory that I had a bet on, I was really confident in him when I first started watching, and then it just –
Really?
Yeah. He still can't make a putt.
No.
He can't. He just can't. He hits it so well, and it just – I don't know. It's just for some reason the big-time pressure putts. I mean, his speed was probably better than I've seen it in a long time, because he never had, at least for the first, you know, 13 holes until he felt like he really had to start pressing.
Right.
His speed was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no point that he was having a fight to make par through the first, like, 13 holes.
Oh, I agree. It was really fun to watch the whole entire thing. I mean, I don't know. It's – Once I saw Louis doing classic Louis, and then Rom sank that putt on 17, it was over. It was all over. Like I said, I called that one last week, but every single other bet I said you should do, it didn't work.
Yeah, it was just – it was such poetic justice the
way
it ended.
It's the U.S. Open. I mean, it's so hard to predict.
I mean, you got to have some luck. John really didn't get screwed on anything like a lot of the players up there did.
Yeah.
I
think John Rahm might win the Open. I really do. The regular Open. I really do think he might.
Yeah.
What else you got for us last week?
Nothing as far as the tournament goes, but there was a pretty big news thing that came out like Tuesday maybe.
Okay.
It was based on a player vote to ban green reading books.
Oh, no, that's happening. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like official, but it – Everybody's saying it's pretty likely that this is going to be a change.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, this to me, this adds consistency to their vision of doing away with things that removes, like, certain equipment that lessens a skill set.
I think it's going to make it a little more difficult for them, which is probably needed. Because a lot of golf courses, their version of fighting against the tour players is thicken the roughs, speed the greens, and make the course longer.
Right.
And that's not working anymore. You can't make a course – you're going to make a course so long at some point.
Yeah, and so tight.
Yeah, so take away the greens books. I think it's fine. And some other people that I know point out, it's going to speed up play.
Oh, tremendously.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I think you're going to see – this may have as big of an impact as when they banned belly putters. Because you had players like Adam Scott and Webb Simpson that it took a year or two for them to, like, switch back to conventional style and figure out how to make putts again.
They have found another way around the belly putter, though.
The arm lock, and they're even talking about banning it, too.
Oh, yeah. Xander said it, too. Xander straight up said, it feels like cheating, but I'm going to do it until you say I can't.
I mean, you might as well take every advantage you can.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I think this definitely, you know, I mean, obviously with, you know, arm lock and belly putters, yes, that takes away certain aspects of putting that make it more unpredictable.
Right.
But I think the green reading books definitely hinder the ability of guys that are really good at reading greens.
Yeah.
Like the first person I thought of whenever I heard about this was DeChambeau.
Yeah.
I think he'll struggle.
Good.
Yeah. But,
well, good. No, like someone like Bryson needs to struggle because he's the bomber of the game right now. And yeah. I'm tired of courses keep lengthening golf courses. I hate that. Because, like, Abraham Answer, super good player, but he can't hit it anywhere. All these courses are so long.
Right.
I mean, literally, some of these courses, you have to be a bomber to win. You literally have to be. And it gets annoying at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. No, I'd make the game more challenging in different ways instead of just lengthening the golf course every time.
Yeah, I think this is a needed step. And, I mean, when you think about it, pros have so much more advantages than even the top amateurs.
Oh, yeah.
In the game.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, at least in my experience, I've never shown up at an amateur tournament or a big college event and then hand out green reading books that tells you pretty much how to make every single putt on every single green.
Yeah, no, it's not how it works. But, yeah, no, I'm glad they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
Like, especially for the speed of play-wise. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you ready to talk about this week?
Yep.
Okay, Travelers this week. It's a fun tournament. I go back and forth with it. Sometimes more interested, sometimes I'm not.
Much bigger field than I was expecting.
Yeah, pretty big field, pretty packed. Kind of tough. To be honest, this is probably one of the hardest times I've ever had picking people to play. I mean, I really like my tier A guys, and other than that, I don't really know what's going to happen. I think Wednesday wagers would be a pretty interesting episode tomorrow, but let's start here. I got 5 tier A guys.
I've got 4.
Okay, so we use FanDuel Sports for everything. We go from the most expensive player down to $10,000 for tier A, then 9.9 to 9 for tier B, so on and so forth. We have 4 different tiers, A, B, C, D. Let's talk A. Who do you got first?
So, at the very top of the board, I don't really know how seriously these guys are going to take it coming right off the U.S. Open. You had DeChambeau with the collapse. You had DJ that looked like he kind of could have been in it.
He kind of came back. He's had his best tournament he had in a while.
Yeah, and he looked like he could have contended on Sunday, and then I think he made a triple on 10.
Yeah.
Which, once you make a big number – last day of a U.S. Open like that, you're pretty much toast.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm sliding down a little bit, and the first guy I've got is Paul Casey at 11,600.
Whoa.
I didn't really think he could play that well at a U.S. Open like he did last week.
He does. He always plays well.
Yeah.
He's an extremely solid player, but
he's coming off 2 solid performances, which are both in majors. Before the U.S. Open, we last saw him at PGA, and he finished tied 4th. 2 very long golf courses where you wouldn't – I mean, Paul Casey's not jumping out at you.
Right. Sorry, I'm looking out the window, so it is monsooning out right now.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, Paul Casey is – he's a fantastic player. He has an amazing course history here. I like him this week, but I don't like him to win because he never wins. I can see him top five. Him top five is plus 240. That's a Wednesday wager deal.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like your pick.
I mean, he's just been very consistent. Like you said, good course history. Tied fifth in 2019, tied second in 2018. And to me, like, this course isn't very long at all, so I feel like it's going to aid the guys that's got really good ball striking ability. He's third in strokes gained approach, seventh in strokes gained tee to green, and 13th in strokes gained total.
Yeah.
So when I think of a golf course that sets up well for Paul Casey, I feel like here's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would love to see Paul Casey win, but yeah, no, it's a short course, 6,841 yards long. It's a bent/Poan greens, which are the same greens we've seen the last 2 weeks. That's where comes my course comparisons. I'm using the Memorial and I'm using the U.S. Open, just because it's bent Poan greens. So let's see how they do. Obviously, this is a way shorter course and way easier conditions than those two courses. So I feel like if you got a guy that's been finishing the top 30s in those tournaments, well, now we might be talking top 10s. But the guys that finished top 10s might be winning.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'll give you two guys real quick because you went to 11,600. I'm going to go all the way to the very top and talk about Bryson.
Got good course history.
I don't like him. I don't like him. I like him this week. I don't like him. He's 12,300, the most expensive player on the board this week. He finished sixth last year, eighth in 2019, and ninth in 2018. Never finished outside the top 10 here. He is the favorite to win the tournament as of right now.
Yeah.
We all know Bryson. The second that U.S. Open was over, he probably flew home, something like that, and he's been nonstop battling, practicing since. So I 100% believe that Bryson, he legitimately may miss the cut this week, or he will probably win the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be a whole fine line. I mean, yeah, he might go top five, but yeah, I personally think Bryson's going to play really well this week. But you'll have to tune in to Wednesday wagers tomorrow to see if I take him as a winner or not. He's a pretty heavy favor.
Yeah.
But I like him for this week. He's never finished outside the top 10. So, I mean, that's pretty good. well, also, he finished 18th at the Memorial and 26th last week in the U.S. Open, but the 26th was a debacle.
Yeah.
Of the last day. So, another guy that I like, who I like him a lot this week, actually, 11,800 is Patrick Cantlay.
That's one of your boys.
Yeah. I know when to jump on the train and when to jump off with him. And right now, I think the train's still moving.
Yeah.
Last year at this tournament, he finished 11th. The year before that, 15th. And the year before that, 15th. So nothing outside the top 15. He won the Memorial and finished 15th at the U.S. Open. Obviously, putting very well on bent Poan greens right now. Striking the ball extremely well. He's playing great. And yeah. I 100% see a Patrick Cantlay top 10 this week. I 100% see it. And I don't know what the odds are for that yet, but I really do like Patrick Cantlay this week a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad play. I mean, he's definitely world class. And like we said last week, he finds a different vibe out west.
Yeah, I think he's a very safe play this week. I think. All right, you got. Give me a guy.
Okay. A little on further down for me. I think this fits. He fits this course mold pretty well. Abraham Answer.
I got him too.
He's right at even 11,000.
I love this guy this week.
I'm not really putting much weight into his missed cut at the U.S. Open.
No, me either.
I don't think he was built for Torrey Pines at all.
No, no. It's U.S. Open conditions extremely difficult. Plus, that is a long course. Abraham Answer hits it nowhere. I like him.
I mean, before that, he had finished inside the top 20 in his last five events. Yeah. Prior to coming to the U.S. Open. So his game, I think, is fine. Like I just said, I think this play suits his ball striking ability.
Course history.
Yeah, which is why I think he's played well here before. He finished tied 11th in 2020 and tied 8th in 2019.
Yeah.
Just even more fit in the mold. He's 6th in driving accuracy, 26th in strokes gained total, 29th in strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained tee to green, and 11th in greens and reg.
Yeah, I mean, all the reasons you're talking about him. I can't really talk about U.S. Open and Memorial much with him. He's got great course history, all the stats you just said. It's a very short course, so he can easily compete here. I like him a lot. I I will 100% see a top 10 out of Abraham Hanser, possibly even a win.
I would love to see Abraham Hanser get a win.
I think he deserves a win, and I could definitely see it being here. I like him. But that being said, I think someone else is due for a win, and that man would be Mr. Scotty Scheffler, 11,400.
Wow.
I've never picked him once in the show because he's –
You're not a big Scheffler guy.
No, I'm not, but it's hard to go against him with his last 2 weeks because it seems – with his track record, it seems to be when he gets hot, he stays hot, and he finished third in the Memorial and seventh in the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So those are, again, Poan slash Bent Greens, so he's obviously doing something right.
Yeah.
And I think Scottie Scheffler might be due as well. I'm scared for that one. I could see a top 10 for sure, but I feel like Anser and Scottie Scheffler are very much due.
Yeah.
Like through my four picks, I feel like Bryson, he probably will win. Honestly, a top 10 is almost guaranteed. Patrick Cantlay, in fact, top 10 is guaranteed. Scottie Scheffler, in fact, a top 15 is guaranteed, if not possibly a win.
Kind of a make or break.
Yeah. And I see Anser top 10 also possibly a win. I mean, I'm really confident in my tier A guys this week. It's my other guys. It's kind of scurry. do you have anybody else for tier A?
Yeah, I got two more.
Oh, well, throw me two more.
All right. So, just under Abraham Hanser, I've got Joaquin Niemann.
Wow.
10,900.
I'm not ready to jump back on the Joaquin train. Unless you convince me right here.
It's definitely a lot to pay because, I mean.
Tickets are expensive.
That.
Yeah.
And for somebody that's $10,900, his last, you know, couple finishes really aren't.
He's $10,900?
That great, yeah.
That ticket is expensive for that train.
It is. He had a decent bounce back after missing the cut at Memorial, finished tied 31st at the U.S. Open. He finished tied 5th here in 2019. And, you know, if you're looking for a consistent cut maker, he's only missed one on the year. Like I said, those finishes, though, haven't been super high. He finished tied 50th at the Charles Schwab, tied 30th at PGA, tied 18th at Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Then had a tied 8th at Valspar. So it's just kind of ho-hum golf, really. But he's 9th in strokes gained off a tee, 15th in strokes gained total, and 22nd in greens and reg. And I don't know. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that he's due for a win.
I don't think he's due.
But I think he's a good enough player to where I feel like he's due for a solid finish.
I can agree with that. I like Joaquin. Just he's so scary sometimes, so inconsistent.
Oh yeah, and I mean he's definitely one of those guys that his swing can literally fall apart in the middle of a tournament when he looks red hot.
I don't.
It's weird.
Not one part of me believes he's due for a win, but I could see a top 15 finish.
Yeah, same. That's kind of where I'm at.
I agree. Give me your last guy, and then I'll give you mine.
So this guy's a super make or break, I think, for me. It's Bubba Watson.
Whoa.
10,400.
The king of the make or breaks. Past champion.
I don't know, for some reason I feel like the last couple of weeks there's just been so much talk about the mentals.
Yeah.
You know,
Bubba is.
Capacity of golf and what it takes because, you know, we've had Jon Rahm now win the U.S. Open and a lot of his –
It was Mental Health Awareness Month, so –
Okay.
Just dumbfounded you.
Yeah. I thought mental health awareness was a couple months ago.
No, it was not this month. Like last month.
Oh.
Maybe it was 2 months ago.
Anyway.
we'll
just cut that.
Yeah, probably not.
But going all the way back to the PGA Championship, Phil talked about how much changing his mindset helped him. Jon Rahm nailed it home a lot after his win yesterday. Or I guess 2 days ago when this episode comes out. You had Matthew Wolf. He kind of was in the spotlight a little bit after taking 2 months off with his mental health stuff.
Oh, and Matthew Wolf.
If you've been paying attention to golf, Bubba Watson has been talking a lot about his anxiety and stuff of playing golf and how his mindset has changed. And I just feel like it's only a matter of time before he connects the new mindset with a good round of golf.
I agree. Nobody's rooting against Bubba, but
he's definitely becoming more of a fan favorite, I think, than he used to.
Yeah, but Bubba doesn't care that much anymore. That's the other thing. Like, he's come out and said it. Like, I don't care as much about golf as he used to.
Which is good. I mean, that's kind of honestly the mindset you have to have, is like, you have to care but not care.
I think this might be the week. I don't know. I think at some point down the road, you're going to find Bubba just randomly wins a tournament.
Right. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at also.
Yeah, I mean, it could be this week. He's won here before.
Yeah, he loves his golf course. He won in 2018.
But I feel like that might be part of the pressure. He might be like, well, I've won here before, so I need to play good, and things like that.
True. And but I mean,
I see Bubba playing well. I like that pick. I see him playing well.
He had it going last week.
Yeah,
he honest played to well. God, he did have it going. He was in the spot. I think he was 3-under through two rounds.
Uh-huh.
He just collapsed on the weekend, which is easy to do out of U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, all it takes is, you know, one or two bad holes, and you're pretty much out of it.
Yeah, I know.
Which is what we've seen with Richard Bland. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Holy goodness.
Not talking about Richard. I was kind of sad about that one. Yeah, I like it. All right, I'll give you my last tier A guy for the week. I'm surprised you didn't mention him. 10,600, Kevin Streelman.
I thought about it.
Well, I mean, he's pretty solid right now.
Yeah, he's playing good golf.
He finished second here last year, 15th the year before that, 33rd the year before that, and then 8th the year before that. I only go back 4 or 5 years because, again, your game, the golf course, can change over 5 years.
Yeah.
But he finished 13th in the Memorial and 15th in the U.S. Open. He's having a really good season. He played really well in the PGA Championship as well.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Streelman's having a fantastic year. I don't know if I see him winning, but I see a top five, even a top 10 from Kevin Streelman this week. I probably think he's – and I won't say that, but I see a top five or a top 10 out of Kevin Streelman. I could definitely see it.
No, I like that pick a lot.
He's playing very solid this season. I don't know if he's due for a win, but I think you can see him continuing these good finishes, I would say.
Yeah, especially coming to a place he likes.
Agreed. Okay, let's go over to tier B. Now, you're pretty short on this section, right?
I only have one guy. I think this is – I like my tier C guys way more than anybody in tier B.
I heavy loaded on tier A this week. It's such a weird week. Team-wise, I'm not going to be making too much this week. Wednesday wagers is good. It's where it's all at for me this week. So I got 4 tier B guys. You got 1.
Yeah. Go ahead and rattle me off, too.
Yeah, sure. One of mine is Ricky Fowler, and he is 9,800. This man has no course history that I can find. I don't know if he's played here or not, to be honest. I should probably know, but I really don't think he has.
He's really trending in the right direction, though.
He is. And congratulations to Ricky. Today, we record this on a Monday. Him and his wife are pregnant with a little girl. I say, is it him and his wife are pregnant, or is his wife pregnant? How are you supposed to say it?
I don't know.
Well, congratulations anyway. but Ricky's trying, like you said, training in the right direction. And like I said, I mean, he doesn't have much course history here, but I feel like he can play very well here, shorter course and everything. But he also finished 11th at Memorial, so that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And, I like Ricky Fowler a lot this week.
I think he's a solid pick. It's just, I don't know, like, I really wanted to try to pick Justin Rose again, but
he played so bad last week.
He didn't show up for the U.S. Open at all.
Shot 13 over the first 2 days.
It's just like, I don't know, for some reason, this tier B is, like,
awful.
It feels like it's loaded with talent, but just not the eye for this place.
Yeah, nobody's safe, it seems like. Ricky doesn't even seem safe to me. I just like it this week.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the safest guy I picked this week, I feel like, for tier B-wise, and it's Adam Scott. Adam Scott's 9,800. He's the cup maker right now, and especially on Poans. If you look out through all the Poans this season, he's made every single cut on Poan grass. Just to give you more of a closer look, Memorial 16th, 35th in the U.S. Open. He's made the last two cuts, both bent/Poan. I think Adam Scott will definitely make the cut again. And I could see a top 20 out of Adam Scott this week. 9,800. I feel like he's safer than Ricky, but I feel like he might get a better outcome out of Ricky.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, I think Adam Scott's very safe for the week. All right, so give me your one guy, and I'll fire you off my two.
All right, he's a little bit under Scott. It's Kyle Stanley.
Really?
9,700. To me, he seems kind of high priced for someone who hasn't really done a whole lot this season.
Agreed.
But I don't know, for some reason this week I'm sold. He's been a fairly consistent cut maker, and he's kind of had flashes of great golf. I mean, he finished tied 8th at Charles Schwab and tied 14th at Valero. Other than that, all the finishes are kind of mediocre. Tied 42nd at Memorial, tied 26th at Wells Fargo, tied 39th at Valspar. So, like I said, I think he's a little highly priced, but he's got decent course history. He's tied 24th in 2020, tied 36th in 2019, and tied 15th in 2018. Stats-wise, he's 13th in greens and reg, which I really like, 33rd in strokes gained approach, which I also really like, and 47th in strokes gained tee to green. So
stat after stat after stat.
Yeah.
I like it.
Those are all I wonder if stats. People get tired of just being like, okay, we get it. You read stats.
Yeah, probably. I mean, who cares?
I'm just pointing it out.
Oh, they can get over it. You know, we make them money, they can get over it. Except for last week.
Definitely except for last week.
Yeah, Kyle Stanley, not bad pick. Not bad. Like I said, I feel like any five of my tier A guys, I just said, I feel like they can all have a chance to win. My tier B guys, okay, actually, to be honest, my tier B guys, tier C guys, and tier D guys, I don't think any of them can win. I really don't. But I 100% think all of them will make the cut, and some of them will finish a lot better than others. Like Ricky, I think Ricky can go top 10. Adam, I see him top 20. My next guy, he's the cut maker right now. I see him top 30. It's Stuart Sink. And 9,100. He's made his last 7 cuts. He finished 47th at the Memorial, 57th at the U.S. Open, 30th at the PGA Championship. He's got to win RBC.
Two.
Yeah. Two. But I like him. I think he's making a lot of cuts right now. He's playing very good golf. It's nothing too exciting right now. I think it's just very normal golf. I'd see him top 30 at his best. But he's 9,100. That's nothing to complain about for top 30.
No. And, I mean, he's definitely been the – I mean, I guess with after the PGA, Phil's kind of taken his spot. But he's kind of been the head of the wave as far as
– he's kind of an older guy this season.
Yes. So far. Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of a time when we really needed it because it was kind of getting overshadowed with how far people hit it.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
The oldies are still here.
Yeah, you come off, you know, the crazy craziness of last year. And, you know, you had Bryson do what he did as far as beefing up and just seeming like he's going to change the game forever.
Yep.
And yeah, you just had a couple of wins from a couple of older guys that kind of reestablished that, you know, bombing it ain't everything.
Maybe the trend will continue. Maybe Kevin Streelman will win this week. He's an older guy.
Yeah.
Maybe it could continue. It could. Like I said, Stuart Sink, I think he's going to make you the cut. He's going to get you top 30. I like him. Very safe.
Yeah.
Next up for my last tier B guy, also 9,100, is Doc Redman.
Got decent course history.
Yeah, but scurry. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't trust Doc Redman at all. I think he's going to make the cut. He's playing very well right now. He finished 2nd at the Palmetto, which wasn't the most talented field, but it's still a 2nd. That's still very solid. And he's made his last 4 cuts. So, along with finishing 11th here at TPC last year. So, I think he's playing probably about as good as Doc Redman's going to play.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. And, like I said, made the last 4 cuts. I think he will continue his trend of making cuts. I could see him top 20 at his best. I think you'll probably see him more as the top 40, in my opinion. Cut makers this week. I might make a lot of bets just on people to make the cut. So let's move on to tier C. How many you got?
I got 3.
I got 3, too. Give me one. I bet we have all 3 the same guys.
All right. First off for me in this tier is Mackenzie Hughes.
We do not.
Yeah, I didn't figure you'd pick him.
No way I'm picking him.
I'm honestly surprised I'm picking him because nobody nobody had any inkling of this man playing worth a crap last week.
No.
If anybody's being honest. He missed his last five cuts heading into the U.S. Open and is playing the hardest event of the year. And he's in contention, you know, until about six holes left to go.
Yeah, no, nobody expected that.
But I honestly think he should be very pleased with his performance.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. I mean, he showed a lot of guts in the final round. But like we said at the start of the show, it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't – there was definitely a fairy tale ending coming for this week, but it wasn't Mackenzie Hughes' fairy tale ending.
Yeah. It was our boy Rom.
But he finished tied third here last year, and I think he's got – he should have a lot of momentum coming into this week. Stats-wise, he's not really all that great. I mean, he missed his last five cuts, so why would they be? But he is 32nd in strokes gained putting. He's kind of made a, I guess, kind of a reputation for that on tour. He's just a very good putter everywhere he goes, and it kind of saves him.
Yeah, well, momentum can carry a lot into a week, especially momentum from a U.S. Open and you were legitimately in contention. That's a lot of momentum to carry in.
Yeah.
I could see him playing well this week. I'm personally not going to pick him.
I feel like it's going to be one or the other. It's either going to be the really bad hangover after you're just so emotionally and mentally drained from what a U.S. Open does to you that you just come here this week as it's on your schedule and you're just going to stick to your schedule. Or you're going to come in with a great mindset and you're going to contend.
Yeah, we'll see. Not a bad pick. Okay, so again, tier C, just my cup makers. We're going strictly cup makers again. Chris Kirk, 8,900. Having a fantastic season. He's probably having one of the best seasons he's had in a very long time.
Yeah.
For right next to Chris Kirk, I wrote short hitter but cup maker. That's the same scenario for my next five guys. Okay. they're, like I said, it's a very short course. Chris Kirk, he's kind of an older guy, which is kind of weird to me. I feel like he kind of just came back around. But he's made his last two cuts, finished 26th in the Memorial, playing well. He's had, like I said, he's made 14 out of 18 cuts this season.
Yeah.
And he plays really well on the shorter courses. Like we saw earlier, AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the shortest course of the year, 16th.
Yep.
Pretty solid. Most of his good finishes have come from shorter courses. I think he has a really good wedge game. This is a short course. I see Chris Kirk probably a top 20. I like him a lot more than I do Doc Redman this week. But Chris Kirk, 8,900. Short hitter, cut maker. He's going in. You got next.
So I should have just taken the bet that we weren't going to have anybody the same as tier. Because there's no way you're liking this guy either.
I bet I am.
Maverick McNealy.
Yeah, I know. Definitely not.
He's $8,500. Last time we saw him show up was, I think, at the Charles Schwab. I need to find him here on FanDuel real quick.
It's been a hot minute since we've seen him. We saw him at RBC. He finished fourth at RBC, and he finished second at AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. That was the big one.
Yeah, I told you that I think it was the Charles Schwab because he shot 7-under the second round to really, like, get his name to get talked about in that tournament.
Uh-huh.
And I told you that I'm just going to play him at every short course because it seems like that's literally only where he shows up at.
Yeah.
You know, like you just said, finished tied fourth at RBC Heritage, finished second at AT&T Pro-Am. And I think there is a very high possibility of crashing and burning. But
agreed.
At the same time, if he just stays with the trend, it could also win you a week. Because he's not going to be very highly owned at all, I don't think.
You better take him in a bet tomorrow in Wednesday Wagers. You got to own up to it. I could see him going. I could see him top 20 this week. I think he'll be a little bit more intimidated by the feel that he's seen on other short courses, but I could see him top 20, which I bet him top 20 is pretty high.
Yeah, I would venture to say it's at least probably
400.
I was willing to go at least to like 350. I don't know if. But you could be right.
Tomatoes.
I would love it.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
It'd make me picking them much easier.
Yeah.
Easier.
You better pick them tomorrow. All right. Next is a man who I have a curse with.
Okay, we are going to have somebody to say amen.
Russell Knox, 8,600.
Yeah.
The man who has cursed me many times. Short hitter, cut maker. He always makes cut on short courses, plain and simple. He can't hit it anywhere. And I'm talking trash because
the public roasting of Russell Knox.
Russell Knox and I don't get along. Every time I pick Russell Knox, he does horrible.
Yeah.
So expect him to do horrible. Maybe this is the curse breaker. He won here in 2016, and he finished 57th at the Memorial this year, which is so he made the cut.
Yeah.
Short hitter, cut maker. But, yeah, Russell Knox and I don't get along, but I feel like we can get along this week. I see Russell Knox top 30, 8,600.
Yeah,
Give me your reasoning.
He, kind of basically going on what you just said, it being a shorter course, I feel like he can play a little more aggressive because, like, you know, the Palmetto, it played decently short because it was so firm, but it's still, like, 600 or 700 yards longer than this place.
Probably six, maybe an eight, but yeah.
I mean, and Memorial, I think somewhere around the 7,400 yard range. So when you only hit it like 280, I mean, you got to choose which holes that you can legitimately score on more so than somebody that hits it as far as Rory. I'm sorry. It just, that's the way it works.
I think he's lucky to hit it 280. Let's go with like 260.
Just to get a drive and a throw.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know he won here in 2016. More recently, finished tied 21st in 2019, tied 38th in 2018, 6th in greens and reg, and 28th in strokes gained approach. Both pretty big stats that I feel like is really going to make or break somebody's week.
I agree. That's why I see him top 30 this week. I could see him top 20, but
I don't know further than top 20, I don't think.
Agreed.
For me.
100% agreed. 8,600, Russell Knox.
Yep.
Last player I got for Tier C, local boy, Scott Stallings. Scott probably doesn't listen to this. I don't know if he does or not. But if you do, you better do something this week.
Come on our show.
I need you this week.
I'll have our people contact your people.
Yeah, which whatever that means. I like Scott this week. He's had an up and down year. He's had some really good finishes, had some really bad finishes, but he finished 6th here last year and 38th in 2018. He's made 10 out of 19 cuts this year. I see, personally, just judging from how he's played this year, I would say Scott Stallings will be a top 30 this week. That's what I see. I'd love to see a win, but if you're planning on winning, I'd appreciate a phone call first.
Heads up.
I'd win a lot of money. But I like him this week. I see him top 30. I'm more confident in my other guys than I am Scott.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as that goes. I don't see more than top 30 either.
Agreed. I see him making the cut for sure, but I don't see him going better than top 30. Okay, last but not least. Last and least. Tier D. I got two guys.
I got one.
Okay, I'll give you my two because they're both the same price tag.
Okay.
7,800. My first guy is Michael Thompson, another short hitter cut maker. He has made 13 out of 17 cuts this year, which I thought was pretty solid for a Tier B guy. I mean, a Tier D guy. Usually you see those guys missing way more cuts than that.
Yeah.
He went on a 3-week trend or 2-week trend of missing the cuts, but he did make the cut at the Memorial, but it was horrible. It was 2 under, 1 over, 1 over, 9 over.
Ouch.
Yeah, big ouch. But he plays really well at the shorter courses, the Honda Classic. He was 19th, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro Am. He was 34th, finished 5th, the American Express. He's had a pretty good year, I'd say Michael Thompson wise. I 100% see Michael Thompson making the cut here. I no idea where he'll finish. But again, if you're on Tier D and you got guys making the cut, that's huge.
Yeah.
And Michael Thompson, I 100% see him making the cut this week. Give me your guy, then I'll give you mine.
Okay. So, I don't know if I've ever bet him on this show. It's Adam Long.
Yeah.
7,300. He's coming off two solid finishes at the Memorial and Charles Schwab. Finished tied 26th at Jack's Place and tied 20th in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's got decent success here. Tied 24th in 2020 and tied 21st in 2019.
Not bad at all.
He's kind of hit or miss, but I feel like the upside's there. He's 29th in driving accuracy for whatever that's worth. And from what looking at his very few made cuts, I mean, he's 11 for 22. But most of his success came earlier in the year, like dating back to the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like most of his best rounds come in the third. So if I can just get him to that third round, he has a decent chance of taking off. It seems like he just, I don't know, for some reason finds it or gets excited that he's actually made a cut.
Yeah.
And takes full advantage.
I think he could make the cut. I like that. Okay, my last guy for the week, 7,800. Not necessarily a cut maker, but I like him this week. It's because I have a soft spot for him in my heart. It's Tom Hoge. I love Tom Hoge. I have no idea why. No clue. 7,800. He finished 46th in the U.S. Open. Didn't even know he was in the U.S. Open. But I personally like him this week. He seemed like he's another short hitter cut maker. It's he had a really good finish back at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which my Excel is not loading.
Finished 12th.
Thank you. he's also had some other good finishes. He had the Valero Texas Open, had a good week, 12th. The Players, 26th or 22nd. RBC, 25th. He's not having a bad season.
No.
And
he's definitely a tier D guy.
Yes, agreed. But I 100% see Tom Hoge also making the cut. And Tom Hoge has the potential to go top 20. I see Tom Hoge top 20, but if we're being completely honest, it's probably going to be a top 40. Maybe a top 50. But I think he's got the potential. If Michael Thompson and Tom Hoge are the same price, I would rather take Michael Thompson just to make the cut, personally.
That's upside all with Hoge?
Yeah. I love me some Hoge. He's the best. He just seems like a genuine guy.
I think that's all that Jimmy John's you used to like to eat.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. All right, you got anything else for us?
No, I'm done.
Shut up. tune in the Wednesday wagers tomorrow. It will be a very interesting day considering all of our picks, our cut makers, and our tier A guys are up there. It'll be very interesting. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Morning Mully, MULLI. Check out our website for no reason. It's just there. hope you guys enjoyed it, and see you tomorrow.